You're listening to a Southside Broadcasting podcast. Southside Broadcasting is a media company which aims to provide a wide range of features from the rural, health and lifestyle worlds. You can regularly listen to entertaining podcasts with interviews and correspondents from Los Angeles, Nashville, New York and London. You can take part in our Book of the Month features, grab some great nutritional advice, enjoy broadcasts from the Great Yorkshire Show, the Lincolnshire Show, and enjoy local football reviews with our regular feature, Fly Me to the Moon. You can even hear a BAFTA award-winning director drive a train full of teddy bears. You can listen to these and many more podcasts at southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com. For further information on how you can join over 35,000 people who regularly download our podcasts, call us on 01642 854 742 or email info@southsidebroadcasting.com now.
Splendid. Okay, let us move on and continue in its own magical way, as the show is prone to do. To whom, D World? Whom should we actually sort of prone to take in our own magical way? I feel as though I'm reading from a Chris Chibnall script here in many ways, making no sense whatsoever, but somehow randomly stringing utterances together in a way which somebody might say, that's genius, I want you to write for the next series of Camelot.
Yes, indeedy.
Who are we referring to?
Could be Alan Stevens.
I think it will be Alan Stevens if we say the words. Alan Stevens, are you there?
Just about, yeah. I think there's a connection here. You hearing okay?
Yeah, you're coming through okay now. I think that's fine. Are we coming okay to you, through to yourselves?
Oh, I can hear you fine, yeah.
Right, well, there we are.
I can now anyway. I've got my hand on this cable holding it together.
I always find that's very useful, but make sure it's the right cable, otherwise you could give yourself a nasty electric shock, unless there's a power cut, in which case it would be pointless in any case. And that's not starting until 2015. So, Dee, you actually cried. You cried with emotion at the end of The Angels Take Manhattan.
I bawled my eyes out, literally.
Bawled your eyes out.
I did.
Thankfully, they're back in the sockets this morning, otherwise it would have been like Ray Milland and the Man with X-Ray Eyes. If your eye should sin, pluck it out.
Yeah, yes. Good. Anyway. Wouldn't have been pretty.
It wouldn't.
But yeah, I was devastated.
Really?
I was.
Well, we knew that they were going. I mean, we had the power of three the week before, you know. Alan gave that minus 36.
Yeah, that wasn't very good.
Boxes, little boxes, and they all ticky-tacky just the same.
Yeah, I quite like that song.
Yeah, there we are.
Well, I quite liked that episode, actually. I thought it was a bit quirky.
Yeah, yeah,
you had Kate, the Brigadier's doctor, up here.
Oh, she was terrible, wasn't she? I mean, the fact is that she originally... the character originally appeared in a sort of Doctor Who kind of fan video. I mean, it was very professionally done, but it was called Downtime. It had the Yeti in, had some of the original cast in, including Liz Sladen. Mm-hmm. And one of the characters that turned up was the Brigadier's daughter. Now, she might have actually appeared in a Doctor Who novel in the 90s. I'm not entirely sure whether that was the first appearance, but she was played by another actress anyway. That's interesting that she should appear in that. So it's a bit of an insult to Nick Courtney, wasn't it? I mean, Nick Courtney was alive all these years and they never bothered to put him in a new series, and then he died and they bring him back, put his daughter
in. Well, that's not technically true, because he was, of course, in The Adventures of Sarah Jane.
Well, that isn't Doctor Who, is it? And he's only in that because someone else fell out. Dropped out.
Well, suffice it to say,
I mean, he was every single Doctor Who, and then they bring the show back, and do they have him in the first guy? No. And do they have him in Tennant?
Mm-hmm.
Nope.
So, okay, Dee, what did you make of Dinosaurs on a Spaceship?
Oh, yeah, that was absolutely... that was a bit... Well, okay. I absolutely love Doctor Who. Right.
Yeah.
But...
Yeah? There comes a time.
That did stretch it a little bit too much for me,
right.
A little bit. The way they were acting. It was funny. It was
really
funny.
The dinosaurs or the actual actors?
Well, both, I think.
Both.
But yeah, I am a massive fan.
Because that was a minus 35 for Alan.
Minus 35?
That was 5.
Was that? Are you sure that was 5? All right. Was it the gunslinger?
Out of what, though? 5 out of what?
10.
Oh, right.
Okay. a town called Mercy. Was that a town called Mercy? Anyway, the one with the gunslinger.
Mercy and
yes, yeah, exactly. That, you didn't rate that very highly, did you, Alan?
No. No. That was minus 35.
That was minus 35.
I see. Yeah.
And the other one, which got a 5, of course, was The Asylum of the Daleks.
That's right.
Not the sort of thing that we'd actually, and indeed the more astute and regular listeners to Alan's contributions to the Midweek Drive Morning Edition might have actually noted that we rushed him off so quickly on Thursday, so quick were we to actually move over to the Genes for Genes celebration day, we didn't even ask him for any marks. All we basically got was, well, I quite like that, and said, thank you very much, Alan, are you coming back again next week? That was it, really. Speak again longer on Saturday.
Coming back on Saturday.
Yeah, exactly.
So, well, actually, I mean, as you know, I write articles for the Doctor Who Appreciation Society, and yes, at the moment I'm doing this thing on the
Dwaz, to those who people who are actually there. Dwaz.
Yes.
So I've had to rewatch these stories, and Fiona. And rewatched this week, I've rewatched The Asylum of the Daleks, which I still think there's some. I mean, there's this planet which the Daleks, these mad Daleks, are on. And the Daleks want to, destroy these mad Daleks, but they can't blow it up because it's got a huge force field around which is going to be switched off on the inside, which is a bit silly for the Daleks to do that, but never mind, whatever. But they have got this sort of, convenient hole you can sort of transmat down onto the planet. And I think, instead of sending the Doctor down there, wouldn't they just send a huge bomb down there and blow the planet up that way? And how come is it this force field won't allow missiles to penetrate it, but will allow a big space freighter to crash land on the planet? I mean, how did that get through the... if you can crash a spaceship into the planet by accident, then surely you can crash a spaceship with bombs in it or something, can't you?
Do you not need a certain amount of suspension of disbelief?
No, but it's suspension of disbelief and stupidity, really. You know, I mean, I can understand that sometimes you can look at a story and you think, actually, something doesn't entirely match up here. But this is a sort of pretty major and obvious plot hole. Another one was the fact that they had these special nanogenes, that things that could turn people into sort of mental Daleks, and have these sort of like things coming out their foreheads. And there's several people on Earth, including I think a hairdresser and a bus driver, who have also been converted into sort of Dalek drones. And I think, well, if these nanogenes are on Earth, then surely the entirety of Earth is now, you know, mental Daleks. I mean, you might think that if you met Tony Blair or whatever, but I don't know.
That could be the case, couldn't it, really?
Again?
That could actually be the case anyway. I could think of a few people.
It could be the case. But, you know, I kind of think basically the Daleks have won, haven't they? They've actually completely won. They've gone, everyone is now in the thrall of
Daleks.
Daleks
7 billion, human race 0.
Yeah. So, I mean, but having said that, though, I watched it back, and I still quite enjoy the story, and there's a lot of good lines in it, and... it's very, very good. I mean, that bit with the Dalek going, egg, egg. And he goes, well, you want an egg? Egg, egg, stir, red egg. Oh, dear. And he starts shooting at him. That was very, very good. So I kind of liked it, and it had a lot of atmosphere to it. And, you know, so I would upgrade that to 6 out of 10.
Hey.
And the second story, Dinosaur on a Spaceship. Fiona agreed with me that she liked the Asylum of Daleks the second time around better than the first time as well. She wasn't so keen on this one. She thought it wasn't so good, and it did drag a bit when they start riding on the back of a dinosaur and going around and saying, hey, I'm on a spaceship on a dinosaur. Well,
dinosaurs on a spaceship, we can see.
is this
the audio transmission? Is this Annika Wills reading this for a different line in audience?
So I watch it again. I mean, I kind of enjoyed it a bit better as well, actually. So I'd upgrade Dinosaurs on a Spaceship to nine, probably 2-6 as well.
It's the Saturday happy feeling coming across here. You can see what's happening. You know, when he's woken up on a Thursday morning, he's in a bit of a grouchy mood to start off with. You know, give him a few more hours, it all chills out.
I haven't reached a town called Mercy yet. Now, I watched that last night, and my goodness, that's difficult to watch. It's so boring.
Yeah.
But
you've got
sense.
Ben Browder in there from Farscape and Stargate.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, he was very good, though. He throws himself in front of someone to save. I mean, it's such a predictable thing, and it was sort of, I don't know, it just struck me as it tried to create a sort of, you know, serious moral complexity, but it wasn't.
The Doctor is not Clint Eastwood, nor John Wayne. He won't shoot somebody in cold blood.
Well, I mean, John Wayne—he was a kind of moral cowboy, though, wasn't he, John Wayne?
He still shot people, though.
Right?
He still shot people quite frequently.
Well, he did, but the Doctor shot.
True Grit, for instance.
The Doctor's killed loads of people as well. He's got billions, isn't he?
Yes, he has.
Ah, but he's never got off his horse and drunk his milk, and he did refer to the horse as Susan.
Well, I think you had this issue.
Because he speaks horse like Doctor Doolittle. He's also a Time Lord, obviously, either Eddie Murphy or Rex Harrison.
Hmm. Yes,
that's a thought. Yeah.
Right, I've changed phones now. Can you still hear me okay?
Actually, you were better on the other one, to be honest.
Well, okay, I'm having problems. I can't hear on the other one, but I can. You just tell me this. Tell me what you were saying again about Susan and milk and stuff, and then I'll reply on the other phone.
Well, get off your horse and drink your milk, because obviously the doctor channels Dr. Doolittle to allow Alan to reply on the other phone.
Yeah, Dr. Doolittle, there was... Ah, it's gone back to normal again there. It was a bit of a... I just find it tedious. You know, I quite like the first bit when he says, you know... I think we had this discussion before, but when he says, you know, the horse is called, you know, Jehoshaphat or whatever. And,
no, it's not. It's called Susan. How do you know? It told me.
Yes, because, you know, he likes you to respect his gender choices. I mean, I quite like that bit, but I don't know. I mean, in trouble, I had a bit of a flashback to that episode they did last year where he was talking to... that baby, and that went on and on.
Exactly.
And
it's just really... enough's enough, really. Yeah. I mean, you know.
Anyway, I just didn't like the story. I thought it was boring and not very interesting, and you know. So I would give that. What I give it -35. Yeah, I'd actually up that to -40.
Mm. Or rather down it even further.
Yeah. Right?
Up. Yeah. Sorry. Practically, it's too early for me. what was the one? The box one. It was a great build, wasn't it? And it didn't really pay off.
The power of three.
Sorry, yeah.
Cubed.
Yeah.
Well, what happened to Rory's dad?
Why was it called the power of three?
Because it was cubed. As in, you know, cubed
no,
three of
was,
them.
Yeah.
As in,
yeah,
no.
No.
Oh, well.
I mean, there was four of them for a start, wasn't there?
Four, so yes, yeah. It's understandable.
So, no, I haven't watched that one back yet, but... I'm not really looking forward to it. But the Christmas one, the angel one.
Yes.
I mean, there's been a lot of family.
They'll take Manhattan, and you'll have a... Sorry.
I think they should have gone to Los Angeles. That'd make more sense, wouldn't it?
You know, from New York to LA, from LA to New York.
Anyway, there has been a number of fan speculation concerning this story. When it first came on last Saturday, I'd actually gone to a party next door. A child was having his... first birthday, which meant all the relatives.
Could you speak to the child in Doctor Who language then, Alan? Could you go over and say, could you speak to the child in Doctor Who language and say, oogie doogie, oogie doogie, oogie doogie?
Yeah, I did, I know, and then they threw me out.
I'm probably bored, really.
No, that would just be too. Say that again, because I'm back to the other phone again.
Yes. This is very peculiar because actually you sound terrible on the other phone, but on the other phone, I have this notion of Alan having a bank of phones that he's currently working through that he's you know, quite happily, you know, addressing. It sounds a lot better, doesn't it? You know.
Yes, it did sound better before, but actually, you know what's gone through my head? Mm. The episode of Father Ted where Dougal is actually is. Father Ted's explained it to Dougal that the cow is near and then it's far away.
Exactly.
When they're in the caravan.
Sure enough, it's near and it's far. You will. It is. Yes. It's perspective. It's amazing. It's a TV set.
Sorry.
Is this the crap one or the good one?
That's the rubbish one.
Yes. you're listening to Alan Stevens tries out his phones, courtesy of various telecommunications agencies, here on Southside Broadcasting Channel 1 for Hospedia.
Right, turn back now, okay? Ready?
Yes, yes.
Hello?
Yeah.
Hello.
can you hear me okay on this one?
Perfectly, Alan. Absolutely perfectly.
Like you're in a snowstorm here. It's cleared again suddenly.
Well, you've been always clear, so there's no worries with that whatsoever. So good.
Anyway,
stuff.
When I came back from the party, I watched the episode, and I must have been drunk, so I couldn't remember a single thing about it. So I watched it again, and I thought it was all right. I mean, the main criticism there were a number of criticisms of it on line from various fans saying this didn't make sense, that didn't make sense, but it did kind of make sense to me. The only thing I thought was a bit strange was the idea that, you know, the Statue of Liberty could walk straight across New York and no one notice her, even though she's going bang, 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 you know, and look at her and freeze her. I mean, that was a wee bit...
stretch credibility.
She didn't walk across, though, did she? She just appeared.
Hopped, like, exactly.
Exactly.
But she didn't, did she? Because, yeah, I mean, you heard, you said, what's that noise? It's a Statue of Liberty. You know, That was a bit weak, I thought.
Perhaps there was such a good party going on, Alan, they didn't actually notice, you know.
And it was dark.
Yeah, well, there we are.
Yeah, but they said, you know, no one sleeps, a city that never sleeps. Well, obviously a city also full of people who don't take any notice of anyone. I mean, they do say you should never establish eye contact with anyone on the tube in the...
Look at what happened to Roy Hodgson this week, you know. He gets talking to people about the England football team. It's amazing, you know.
No, so I'm football. I don't know what hell you are.
Yeah, it's okay. It's all right. Don't worry. It's somebody will recognise that little illusion I've said there.
Yeah. Sure. Someone. Yeah. Not me. Perhaps they'll explain it to me later.
Yeah.
So what was the thing? A bit of story. Was something else. It was a bit strange, wasn't it? The end. I mean.
Well, they died.
How can you go back and see her as a little girl with a suitcase?
Yes.
If that happened in a timeline which was completely deleted. Do you remember there was all these cracks in time and the universe came to an end and then he had to reboot it, and he rebooted it in such a way where she wasn't an orphan, her children her parents were never killed, and then he appears at the wedding and say, you know, here I am, and she remembers everything, but time is all completely different now.
Perhaps because it was back to a Father Ted notion of, oh, sure enough, it's a great crack with Amy.
Perhaps Dylan wrote that end. What was it the stupid guy called? I can't remember now.
Dylan. Father, yes.
It was Ted.
Dylan
Wright. Dougal Maguire.
Dougal Maguire, yeah. Perhaps Dougal Maguire suggested that ending. I don't know.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, of all of them, I thought that was, you know, the best one of the five they showed. That was the best one. And there was some very nice stuff in it. It was good acting, and the locations were good. And in the end, it was quite sad. Someone was saying that they were too busy trying to work out what the hell was going on, as opposed to being upset. But I understood it, and I thought it was interesting, because there was a section there on a bit whether time can change or not whether time is flexible. And they were saying, oh, well, if you read something and it states something that this happens, then it has to happen, and is that ridiculous? But there is, that was a kind of quantum physics thing, isn't it? And I remember there was a story years ago with Philip K. Dick about how you could, person who had this sort of time perception thing, and they could look into the future and envisage a future and bring that into being.
Yeah.
And that was also an idea used in Doctor Who's story, Moira's Gate, though more evident in the book than the TV version, where these creatures could see into the future and then bring that future that they saw, or saw various alternative futures, and the one they concentrated on, to bring that into reality, which is an interesting idea. So, you know, to put that in it, I think it needs, you know, I would give it 8. Do you mean?
Right, there we are.
Knocking off 2 points for the walking Statue of Liberty and the idea that you can go into a time that has been deleted and meet this girl. I didn't understand that at the end.
Stepping up the Phil Dickian approach to life there.
But I kind of think this series has been a bit...
Well, it's half a series, hasn't it, really? It's got to be a bit of a series. I mean, 5 now, and then obviously the other 8 episodes comes up next October time, in fact, October-November.
I mean, the thing is that, you know, you do get bad episodes. You know, like last year there was that one, or not last year, the season before, there was one called the pirate ship, wasn't it? It was called The
Curse
Spot.
Of the Black Spot?
Yeah.
I thought that was fun. It had Amy, Karen Gillan, dressed as a pirate. What's not to love?
Mm.
I mean, it was, you know, just a step away from her police constable's outfit, but there we go.
Anyway, there are some stories, you know, which aren't usually very good, but to have, you know, I think 3 of them in a row is not a good thing, really. Especially when you get Toby Whitehouse. Toby Whitehouse wrote that Vampires of Venice thing a few years back.
And Being Human, of course.
Yeah, I don't watch that.
About a vampire, a ghost, and a werewolf.
Yeah, I know.
Living in the same flat.
Yeah, sick to death of vampires.
Fair enough.
As you very well know. Toby Whitehouse, he did a very, very good story last year, didn't he, with this minotaur in a sort of ever-changing maze of 1980s.
The God Complex.
Thank you very much.
Sorry.
God Complex, which I thought was excellent. But the year before he wrote one called... Vampires of Venice, which was terrible. Oh.
But they weren't really vampires, Alan. They weren't really vampires. They only bit people and sucked their blood out of them, but they weren't vampires. They were alien species.
What are you talking about there?
The Vampires of Venice.
So why were they called the Vampires of Venice?
Good point.
See? It's like the pair of three. No damn sense at all.
And there we have it. Thankfully, Alan will not be following Merlin, because obviously he's not a Merlin fan. So.
No, but I will be following, so you can still get me back. Here's an excuse to get me back. Red Dwarf.
Oh.
Yes!
Which appeared yesterday on a brand new episode.
Dave.
I saw that. Yes. I did.
Yes.
Did you see it?
They're looking old, aren't they?
Well, they are.
I suppose they are, though.
That's because the show's been going since 1987.
And I've seen every single episode.
97, 2007.
Yes, the one thing you can guarantee with Purple Tree Creative Productions is that it is a smeghead-free zone.
It looked a lot like, didn't it? It looked a lot like the original series. You know, the sort of set design and the costumes, and it looked... You could have actually stuck that on the end of, you know, for last episode. Mm.
He could have.
Well, they may never have gone away. If you are at a bit of a loose end today, Alan, and fancy going to southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com, you can find out, if you haven't already listened to Annika Wills on the Midweek Drive, sandwiched in between the Los Angeles Master Chorale and Phil Leonis. And, of course, you can also listen to yourself again, being squeezed in ahead of From Potter to Don Giovanni, Table Manners, and Jeans for Jeans Day.
And Annika Wills sandwich.
Very nice, yeah. It's all there.
So can you send me a link to this, because I'm too lazy to go myself?
Oh, it's the same link as ever, actually, Alan. You just go to southsidebroadcasting.com and type on new podcasts, and it'll be there.
No, sorry, I've gone blank again. Can you send me a link?
Oh, dear. All right.
And I delete the links. Once you send them, I look at them, I follow them. Otherwise, I have millions of links.
Sometimes you just think, what's the point of web addresses when you can go for that? I mean, yeah, caldorcity.com is just, it's in there. You can, there's a hyperlink on caldorcity.com. You can type on that. That'll take it there. Take you there.
Sometimes I end up going through, tons of these things, trying to find the right one.
That's why Alan is not on Facebook, but Fiona is. You know, Alan, it's not work at all.
Technology is for me, technology is what happened to someone else. I don't do tech.
Life is what happens to you while we're busy making other plans.
Yes, indeed.
You know, you've gone snowy again.
Oh, dear. I think we'll sort that thing. That should hopefully have cleared it up there.
Would you say?
Yes. Would you like to throw those last two questions to Alan, please, Dee?
Have you had an interesting telephonic link with us today, Alan?
Sorry, what did you say?
Have you had an interesting telephonic link with us today?
No, I'm still not getting it.
Oh, dear.
Have you enjoyed talking to us?
Oh, hello. Have I enjoyed talking to you?
Yes.
Do I say it straight? I'm on both phones now, simultaneously.
Good.
What does that say?
Yeah,
that's
echo,
wonderful.
Echo.
It's wonderful, exactly.
That's gone back normal again then.
Right.
And will you be joining us again in the future?
In the mid-future. No, I'll be meeting you again in the past.
Yes.
There's a podcast up there which I'm going to have a link to.
Yes.
Or in a possible time zone that may have existed also.
It was deleted.
Mm. It could have been.
Cracked in time.
Never delete, never surrender. Alan Stevens will return.